In recent times, we have become all too familiar with lots of information and statistics being bombarded to us on social media and in the news media outlets as well. They're constantly posting and recording for us different rates of figures and statistics, all to inform us of what is going on in our world today. And while it's good to know information, and while it's good to have facts and figures at our fingertips so that we can live our lives in a more safe manner, thinking of others as well as ourselves. But as I was thinking of the message tonight, and how we are caused to think much in these days about the virus and its impact upon our nation and our land, and upon each and every one of our lives as individuals, it has affected each and every one of us in some way or to some degree. And we must realise that while it is good to be informed and to know about these things, we need to know something far more important. And I fear that even Christians today have become very fearful even to go out and to live their life because of a spirit of fear. And you know, as Christians, we are not to fear. I know as human beings, as finite creatures, we are prone to fear. We are prone to worry. In some ways, it is natural for us because we're human beings. But I want us to consider tonight something far more important than what we are is going on in our world tonight in regards to the virus. Because we can nearly get too focused upon that and neglect what is most important, and that is the spiritual. And I fear that many tonight in our land are more concerned about the virus. They're more concerned about COVID-19 rather than the most serious, the oldest pandemic which has ever struck this world. And I am, of course, speaking of the pandemic of sin. And just like COVID-19, sin affects each and every one of us. As COVID has impacted each and every one of our lives to some degree, so sin has impacted and has an effect upon each and every one of us tonight. No matter who you are watching in tonight, no matter what your religious or your political background is, Romans 3 and 23 makes it abundantly clear to us that all have sinned. That's me. That's you. That's Her Majesty in Buckingham Palace. That is the President of the United States. That is every man, woman, boy and girl born into this world. And we need to hear the message of the gospel. That's what we're here to present to you tonight. And I want us to consider this evening, what is the gospel? As I was thinking of this message, I asked myself the question, well, what is the gospel? Society is informing us much about COVID-19, and rightly so. But what is the gospel? And thinking more importantly about that, I want us to think about this question. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have read about it there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So for the remainder of this meeting tonight, I want us to consider the gospel according to Jesus Christ. The gospel according to Jesus Christ. And I would like to draw your attention, first of all, this evening, verse number 15 is where we'll be focusing upon, especially tonight. And here our Saviour was speaking, and he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, first of all, I want us to notice that it is the message that is needed by sinners. Why is it the message that is needed by sinners? Well, verse 15 tells us there that it is the gospel. And the gospel is good news. Such the reason we want to consider tonight is because it is the truth. It is the truth that sinners need to hear today. Yes, we can listen and hear about other different information and to inform us about the virus, inform us about a multitude of other things. But you need tonight to hear the message of the gospel. And as I said, it is good news. And while it is good news, it is necessary for the hearer of the gospel to understand that for this to be truly good news, it brings us to the reality that there is bad news, which we must deal with as individuals. This is something for you to consider tonight as an individual watching in, no matter who you are or where you are tonight. This is a message needed by sinners because it's the truth. As sinners, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we stand condemned before Almighty God. We stand not only condemned before Him, but we stand lost. Whether you are young or old, rich or poor, whether you are famous or unknown, we are all born as sinners into this world. And this is a very hopeless and bleak situation, but yet it's the truth tonight. It's the truth. Before I became a Christian, that I was born in shapen in iniquity. I was born separated from God by my sin. But yet, friend, tonight there is hope. And there is hope because of the gospel, which this book is all about. And this book is all about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, right from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21-22. It is about Jesus Christ. Now, not only is it the message needed by sinners because it is the truth, but because it was brought by John the Baptist and by Jesus Christ. Notice there with me from verses 2 to verses 8 of Mark 1. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, "And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down unto unless." So here we see in verse 4, John the Baptist, the one who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had come to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. And John preached a message for sinners to repent of sin. Remember, repent means to turn away. It is as if you're going one direction and you stop and you do a 180 degree turn and you go in the opposite direction. I don't know much about fish tonight, but I remember hearing of salmon. And the salmon, it swims up against the stream, up against the tide. And as Christians tonight, that ought to be our testimony. As the world is going headlong down that broad road to hell, and whether the individual is on the clean side or the dirty side of the broad road, they're still heading the one direction. They're still heading on the one road to a Christless hell. But as Christians, we ought to be going against the tide. I trust that that is true of you, dear Christian, tonight. John came and preached for sinners to repent. And where did John point them to? John pointed them to Christ. Remember John 1:29. What did he say? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John pointed men and women, young people in his day, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I want to do tonight, dear friend. I don't want to point you to anyone or anything else, but to the blessed Son of God. It says there in verse 15, Christ speaking here, "For the time is fulfilled." Now what is he saying here? He is referring to the prophecy of himself. He was referring to the prophecy of the coming Messiah. The Messiah whom the Jewish people looked for from the very earliest days of this world. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, it's recorded for us, thousands of years ago, when God promised to Adam and Eve that he would send the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. And that was the first gospel promise, the proto-evangel, as the theologians term it. The first gospel promise that the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Messiah was going to come. God had promised to send him. And hear that, and all the other Old Testament prophecies that pointed forward to Jesus Christ, they were now fulfilled. And this is what it means, for the time is fulfilled. And here Christ, the very fulfillment of these prophecies, the Messiah stood before the people in fulfillment to God's faithfulness and God's covenant loyalty to his people and God's covenant goodness to his people that he promised. And here his promise in sending his darling only begotten Son, the one who would be the Saviour for sinners, was now fulfilled. And it goes on to say there, and the kingdom of God is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, those words are rendered the kingdom of heaven. And that is just a synonym of the kingdom of God. This is what he's referring to here. He's referring to the kingdom of God. It refers to the Lord's reign over the hearts and lives of men. The coming of this kingdom is both not only the opportunity, but the necessity for sinners to be saved, for sinners to repent of their sin and to trust in Christ. And here you have another opportunity tonight. If you're watching in tonight and you're not a Christian, and God's been gracious and merciful to you, and yet you still, are in your sin tonight. Perhaps you have been watching into the mission that the church has held this past week, and you're still not saved. Perhaps you are a member of this congregation, or perhaps you're a friend or associated with the work here. People know that you're associated or you attend here. But are you a Christian? Are you saved? Sadly, we have many in the free church tonight and in other evangelical churches. People who are associated with the work, but yet they're not saved. And I think that's so sad. What a tragedy. That people have sat under gospel preaching for umpteen years, and yet tonight still not saved. And yet God in his mercy has spared you another evening. And God has permitted you to hear another gospel message. Oh yes, you've heard it. You will hear it preached far better from the lips of other preachers than me. But I want to point you again to Christ. And what will you do with him? What have you done with him tonight? Is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? Because at the end of the day, that is all that matters. That is all that really counts at the end of the day, is what we have done with Christ. Are you a Christian tonight? Sadly, many think that being a Protestant will get them into heaven. Others think that they, because they are a good Roman Catholic, will get them into heaven. Yet, friend, tonight, it's not by your birth, your religion, or your life that you will get into heaven. But it is upon the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And that is the same message that John brought. It is the same message which we see that Christ brought as well. You see, there's no division in God's word in regard to the gospel message. One way of salvation through Christ. The Old Testament saints looked forward to the coming Messiah. And by faith, they trusted in God. And by faith, that was how they were saved. And they're in heaven tonight, because they looked by faith to Christ, to the coming Messiah. And if you look by faith tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be and you will be saved for time and for eternity. So we thought first of all, the truth that is needed by sinners, because it is the message that sinners need to hear, because it's the truth, and because it was brought by Christ and John and Christ. But secondly, I want us to think about the action needed from sinners. Very basic, simple gospel message tonight, the points and the what we want to say is right here for you to see clearly. The action needed by sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, when they were preaching, they preached for a response. And I want to preach tonight for a response. You cannot just simply hear this message tonight and shrug it off and say, that doesn't affect me. Oh, it does affect you tonight. It affects each and every one of us tonight, no matter who you are or where you are. And as John and the Lord Jesus Christ preached for a response, they preached for men and women to make that decision there and then. Ultimately, you're either going to reject them or accept them. When people walk out the doors of a church, when people turn off a gospel message or a gospel song, and God has been speaking to them through it, they're ultimately saying no. They're rejecting Christ. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. Many people are worrying about tonight about a vaccine or to take it or not. Many people are worrying about their finances. Many people are worrying about their job security. And those are all very legitimate concerns. But the matter of your soul is of a far greater importance. The matter of your soul and where your soul will spend eternity is the most important thing for you to get dealt with. And it must be dealt with tonight. Now is the accepted time, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not later on this week. Now. Wherever you are in your home or wherever else you're listening into. If you're not a Christian. Notice here what he says. The action. The first action is repentance. And as I explained that a few moments ago, I was turning in the opposite direction. I was getting ahead of myself there in my message. Well, perhaps you would say to me, well, what do I need to repent of? Well, it's abundantly clear that each and every one of us need to repent of our sins. I, as a Christian, need to repent every day to keep a short account with God. But when I first came to Christ, I sought to turn away from my sin, to repent of it. I was sorry for my sin. I was ashamed of my sin because the Spirit of God, that's what He does. He takes the Word of God and applies it to the heart and shows us that we are guilty before God, that we are sinners, and that we deserve to be cast into hell for all eternity. That we do not deserve grace. We do not deserve mercy. We do not deserve His love. We do not deserve His Son. But yet, God, in His grace, love, and mercy, sent us Christ. Notice there what he said about his son in verse 11 of Mark 1. Thou art my beloved son. Think of those words there. Then the God the Father spoke from heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ, after his baptism by John, and the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove, and as Christ came up out of the waters, that great voice came from heaven and said those words, Thou art my beloved Son. The word Son there is with a capital S, speaking of Christ, His deity, His divinity, His co-equality with the Father. Oh yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is God of very God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Christ. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead dwelling together in perfect harmony, perfect Trinity, unity in one. And he says of him, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, the Lord delights in his Son. He always has, and he always will, because he's his only begotten Son. And friend, the first action here required is repentance. It's repentance. It's not by living a good life. It's not by being a member of an organization. It's not by being baptized or catechized. It's by repentance. Sin which you have committed, sin which I commit, must be repented of. Notice there what Christ said. Repent ye. Repent ye. Yes, he was speaking to many people in the crowd that day. But the message was for each and every one individually. Just as I made mention this morning of Barnabas, when Barnabas was speaking to those believers at Antioch, he was including them all. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to everyone that was under the sound of his voice. He is speaking now by his Spirit through his word tonight. In 2021, repent ye. Sin grieves the heart of God. God cannot have sin in his presence. And that is why when Adam sinned against God in the garden, that is why Adam was separated from God. Because God cannot have anything that defiles in his presence. That is why it says in the Bible that in heaven none that defileth shall enter in. But yet God in his mercy to Adam and Eve, he provided them coats of skin. An animal's blood was shed, and God provided skins for them in the garden to cover their nakedness, to cover their sin. You need a covering for your sin tonight. And praise God there is in the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood. But repent ye here, it means to be sorrowful over your sin because it has offended God. Oh, we're living in a day when it's getting more dangerous, it's getting more difficult to preach the gospel because we're going to offend a certain group in society. Well, that doesn't matter. We're not here to go out and deliberately to offend. But the gospel message, it is offensive because it tells everyone that listens, it tells everyone that hears that we are all sinners. And I know nobody likes to be told they're a sinner. I didn't like to be told I was a sinner all those years ago. But it's the truth. And friend, you need to realize this. You need to realize this. Because far more important is that we have offended God. And that sin has separated us from God. It grieves his heart, and it ought to grieve your heart when you sin against God in thought, word, and deed. God is speaking tonight to your heart, certainly speaking to my heart, challenging me over how I live my life and how you live your life. And just as he spoke to me about my sin and my need of Christ, so he speaks to you tonight through his word. If you ever want to be saved and in heaven someday, you need to turn away from your sin. And in and of yourself, you can't. But if you genuinely seek God tonight, if you desire to be saved and you call on to God, if you repent of your sin, God will hear. Because he is in the business of saving souls. We're still in the day of grace. We're still in the day of opportunity. All you have to do is come now to repent. Christ came to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous. Luke 5:32 tells us that. And there is something else mentioned here. Not only are we to repent, to turn away, but we are also to believe. Notice there, the Lord said, repent ye and believe. Believe. The Savior here, he's not talking about simply, as it were, assenting to truth in your mind or acknowledging that something is good and correct. That little word, believe there, it has the thought of being fully persuaded of, to place confidence in, to think to be true. Do you think the gospel to be true? Yes, you may believe in going to church, but that won't get you to heaven. You may pray, you may read the Bible, you may do good works, but that won't get you to heaven. There's multitudes of people out there in cults and false religions, and they think they're going to get to heaven their own way. And yet in their religious or cult system, they are trying to earn merit with whatever God it is they are seeking to follow. And yet, man in and of himself can't seek after God. Man in and of himself cannot earn his way to God or merit to come into God's presence. But yet God has done everything. He has done everything which is necessary for sinners to be saved. You know, we stand before God today legally guilty because we've broken His law. But yet through Christ we can be made legally righteous. We can be made legally free from the claims of the law. And of course that means death, because that was the curse of the broken law. It was death. Galatians 3:13, that Christ died for us. That was the curse of the law, and Christ faced that curse and He bore it for us. But yet tonight there is eternal life promised to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. The little word believe, to be fully persuaded of, to place confidence in. What is your confidence in tonight? Or who is your confidence in tonight? I was speaking with a little lady from our congregation a few weeks ago, and she was telling me of a relative whom she spoke with on the phone. And this man is a man in his 90s, I believe. And this man, when this lady was seeking to witness to him over the phone, and how God had been good to him and how he needed to be saved, and yet he just rubbished it. He said, "I'm good enough. Oh, I go to church. I haven't done things that other people have done. I'll get into heaven." How sad. To live 90 odd years and still to be under that delusion that you're good enough for heaven. Nobody's good enough for heaven. And that is why you must repent. And that is why you must believe. There's nobody else. There's nothing else that you can believe in for the saving of your soul tonight. But it is Christ and His work upon the cross. To believe the gospel is to rest upon Christ, what He has done to save you. This is what Christ preached. Now notice here, this is the opening chapter of Mark's gospel. This is way before the Lord Jesus Christ had even went to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ here is just about to, he's commencing His earthly ministry. We know that in verse 11 there, when the Lord Jesus Christ had been baptized, He was baptized before He went into the wilderness where He was tempted of the devil for 40 days. But yet the Lord was able to endure because He's God. And then He commences His ministry. How does He commence it? By saying these words, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." That is how Christ commenced His ministry. And that was the ministry He carried out, to point men and women away from themselves, away from their religion, away from their works, and to look to Him. But yet many sadly rejected Him. Many sadly wanted nothing to do with Him. Is that you tonight? "We will not have this man to rule over us," the multitude said. And as Christ was before the crowd, and Pilate on the one hand, and Pilate sought to wash his hands of the whole situation, but yet he wasn't innocent. Pilate rejected Christ that day, just as the multitude before him that day rejected Him as well. He didn't believe in Christ, and yet his wife had come to him and said, "No, have nothing to do with this just man." Christ preached this before He went to the cross, before He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then He went to Calvary, betrayed by Judas, forsaken by His disciples. And as He was nailed to Calvary's cross, and we think of all that He endured at Calvary for us, and how God Almighty poured His wrath upon Christ, His Son, for our sins. Christ made the atonement that day for our sins. And this, He had spoken this way before He had went to the cross and did that. And yet that's the same message that I seek to bring to you today. He preached it with the sinner to trust in what He was going to do. And for you tonight, all you can do is look back to what He has done. Look back to Calvary and what Christ has done. John chapter 19 and verse 30. "It is finished," He cried. The work of redemption was paid in full. And He preached it for you to come to Him. Will you come to Him tonight? repent and believe. Those are the actions which sinners need to carry out. John Gill said, he called them to repent, not only of their former sins and vicious course of life, but of their bad principles and tenets concerning a temporal kingdom of the Messiah, concerning merit and free will, justification by the works of the law, and salvation by their obedience to the ceremonies of it and the traditions of the elders. These he exhorts them to change their sentiments about and to relinquish them and to give in to the gospel scheme, which proclaims liberty from the law, peace, pardon, righteousness by Christ, and salvation and eternal life by the free grace of God. Now, I know that is a somewhat lengthy quote tonight, but let me read those last number of words. Give in to the gospel scheme, which proclaims liberty from the law, peace and pardon and righteousness by Christ, and salvation and eternal life by the free grace of God. There we have the grace of God, as we thought about this morning as well. So we thought about the action which is needed by sinners. But lastly, let us consider the marvellous salvation for sinners. Because when we come to Christ, we not only are saved, not only have we a right relationship with God, not only does God justify us in His sight, that declarative act in His mind when we exercise faith and repentance towards Christ, but we are redeemed with the precious blood. That means to be bought with a price, to be set free, to be loosened from sin and its penalty and its guilt. But not only that, but we are reconciled to God. As I said earlier, that sin separates us from God, but through Christ we can be brought back to God. But we can have those new affections, whereas before it was against God, but now it's for God. We love Him and we want to serve Him. We want to live for Him. But not only that we are adopted into His family as sons and daughters of Almighty God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But it says here in verse 4 of Mark 1, when John was preaching there, he spoke of the baptism of repentance or unto repentance for the remission of sins. And that term remission of sins simply means the forgiveness of sins. For our sins to be forgiven, someone had to stand in our place and be punished for our sin. Because as sinners we have broken God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. And since we have broken God's standard, His law, we stand condemned before Him. The law shows us that God demands perfection. But yet each and every one of us know, none of us can give perfection. And even our very, very best on our very best day would still fall so far short of what God requires. The law shows us that God demands not only perfection, but that we cannot render that perfect obedience unto the law as He requires. But thank God there was one who did, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law, as Matthew 5:17 tells us. He came to fulfill, not to destroy. He rendered that perfect obedience, or as the theologians term, His active obedience. And in His perfect obedience, He bore the curse of the broken law, Galatians 3:13. But also, the curse of it was death, and He died for sinners. And in His death, that is what they term His passive obedience. And like ungodly people like you and I, He died for us. Romans 5:6, Christ died for the ungodly. And there the full force of the wrath of God fell upon Christ for our sins. And He bore it all at Calvary. He finished the work of redemption at the cross and died, rising again on the third day for our justification, because God's justice was met. God was fully satisfied. His legal justice had been satisfied. And because Christ did that, That is how God can remain just and pardon sinners tonight who repent. And we know that he rose again on the third day as the Prince and as the Saviour. And that Christ procured that perfect legal righteousness which each and every one of us need tonight. I am not clothed with my own righteousness, but I have been clothed in Christ's perfect righteousness. A righteousness which he did not need, but a righteousness which we did not have, which we needed, which we could not earn for ourselves. And he purchased that for us and imputes that or credits that to the accounts of those who come to him by faith and trust in him for their soul's salvation. But not only do we have sins forgiven, but we have union with Christ. What a wonderful truth this is. And so often we can overlook or we can neglect this truth. That when a sinner comes to Christ and rests upon his finished work, they are united to him for time and for eternity, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that all the blessings and benefits that Christ has purchased for us at Calvary, they will be bestowed upon us because he's purchased them for us. Eternal life in heaven. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sins forgiven. Union with Christ. So many in our land today, there's been much talk in our province about a different union. And people feeling their union is under threat. And no matter what side of the opinion you're on tonight, friend, no matter what side of the union issue, the political union you're on tonight, there's a far more important union you need to be concerned about. And that is to be united to Christ. Because someday I'm going to pass away. Someday you're going to pass away. And our country will still be here unless the Lord has come. And what will a political union matter to your soul's eternal destination? You need to be saved tonight and to be united with Christ. That is the greatest union to consider. That is the most important union in Northern Ireland tonight. No matter what your religious background is, no matter what persuasion politically you are, you need to be saved and united to Christ. But also we have eternal life guaranteed. The Saviour said, because he lives, we shall live also. John 14:19. Just think of those words there and repeat it to yourself. Because I live, ye shall live also. And we know that once we depart from this scene of time, our soul will be ushered out into one of two eternal destinations. Either heaven to be with Christ for all eternity, or in hell without him. And this is a very solemn matter tonight, my friend. This is the most solemn matter you could ever consider. Because this is for all eternity. I'm sure you've maybe heard of the illustration told that if a seagull was to come once a year and to take a grain of sand from the seashore for instance, Port Stewart Strand, up the road there. And if a seagull was to come and to take one grain of sand, you know how small they are, microscopic, to take one grain of sand away. And after even the seagull had lifted and was possible to lift every grain of sand and to carry it away, God's eternity has only begun. And eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. After a billion years, eternity is barely begun. After a trillion years, eternity is just getting started. And yet, why would you want to die and end up in hell? In the fires of hell, to be tormented day and night forever and ever, like the rich man in Luke 16. He said he was tormented in the flame. And he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he did not have Christ as his Saviour. And just as well, Lazarus did not go to heaven in that account because he was a poor man. But in that account you will read Lazarus' name. The Lord knew him. But the name of the rich man we don't know because the Lord did not know him personally as one of his own. And that's what makes the difference tonight. Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Each and every one of us will die someday. And of that day and hour no man knoweth, but the Lord knows. And as it tells us in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And so, friend, you need to be prepared tonight for that meeting. When you will meet God, and meet Him you will. But will you meet Him as your Saviour, or will you meet Him as your judge? We've considered this evening the message needed by sinners. It is the gospel message, because it is the truth, because it is the message that Christ and John the Baptist brought. We considered as well the action needed for sinners, or from sinners, to repent and believe. And we also considered lastly there the marvellous salvation for sinners. I could not exhaust that tonight. That is a wonderful topic in and of itself. But those few little thoughts, sins forgiven, union with Christ, eternal life guaranteed, are just some of the many blessings and benefits that as the redeemed sinner can have. As a sinner saved by grace, that's all I am tonight. There's nothing special about me. All I am is a guilty, hell-deserving sinner saved by sovereign and matchless grace. And oh, that you would be saved tonight for time and for eternity. I trust and pray the Lord will bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake and glory. And before I close in a word of prayer, let me urge upon you one last time that if you're not a Christian, that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ now. That you would repent. That you would turn from your sin and believe in Christ. To put all your confidence and your faith and trust in Him. Don't worry about what other people will think. But get the matter of your soul's eternal salvation and security. Get it sorted tonight. And so that you will be able to lay your head in the pillow tonight. And know, and you can know if you will come tonight, you will know it is well with your soul. And that when you lay your head in the pillow, you know that whenever you fall asleep, and if God was to come, that you would be in heaven. You see, God's salvation, it brings assurance, it brings peace, it brings unspeakable joy. To know the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, there's no experience like it in this world. To know that you're right with God, to know that you're saved, to know that you're undeserving, but yet because of God's grace and His love and His mercy, that He has saved you. And He will keep you by His grace. Let us close in prayer. And I thank you sincerely for your attention today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in amazement. And Lord, we come in acknowledgement of Thy great love and Thy great mercy, Lord, towards sinners. And Lord, I thank you for saving sinners through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear God, that Thou wouldst write Thy word upon each and every heart listening tonight. I pray that You would glorify Thy Son. Lord, that's what we're here to do. We're here to point to Him, the man of Calvary. And Lord, we pray that He would be glorified and magnified. We do pray, dear God, that Thou wouldst bring precious souls unto Thyself. That, Lord, Thou wouldst get all the glory. And Lord, we do pray that You would part Thy people now in Thy fear and in Thy favour. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all until Jesus comes or calls again. And it's in His precious and worthy name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.